Genesee Street, where niggas mix weed with they nicotine treats. Okay. I wish I had that soda and a dime piece, bitch, so I could just get back and sit my lime in peace. Easy breezy, beautiful, erratic, scatter-minded, manic, borderline addict. I try to take the sober route and end up on the Reddit. Now everything I joke about just ends up on the Reddit. Gator skin cold, Florida heat, no dope. Feel like the Tiger King, these bitches won't bold. Leo the sunshine, I'm sipping the Cosmo. Make money like Pronto and Gucci my poncho. Ain't no brain up, pain on me. Niggas wetting up the block, but ain't a stain on me. Label always up my ass like ain't no B. Why can't all these label niggas just let me be? Let me breathe. Niggas want me all RIP. I've been resting with my peace, and that's the irony. I'm a dying sunflower, leaving a trail of seed in the A13. Glastonbury Square.
Chip on my shoulder.
What you say? Let's go.
This is how we
get.
The gang's all here. Chip on my shoulder.
What you say?
Next up, the aspect of flow. Many want it. Few have it. Question is, do you?
Well, I'm watching every nigga watching me closely. My shit is butter for the bread, they wanna toast me. I keep my head over them where they supposed to be. Hoes will get you sidetracked, they clap from close feet. I don't sleep.
I know she's talking about Miss Doty, it's time to listen up.
Doty with Boiled Peanuts performed at Glastonbury Festival because she was also one of the headliners at Oshiaga, which is what we've been talking about today. And on that performance at Glastonbury, there was just a little bit of Jay-Z at the end, Can I Live? We also heard some music from Artemis, the Oxford-based musician, performing his hit song, I Like the Way You Kiss Me. And then one song that I actually forgot to mention was a Montreal band called Pee-Pee or Pie Pie, they're spelled P-Y-P-Y, who just brought this incredible post-punk energy with frenetic, got into the crowd. This was a song taken from their debut album from last year called Sacred Times, which you can find on Bandcamp at pypy.bandcamp.com. The song was called She's Back. We loved it. And we've got time for one last thing before we go into our big interview live from Oshiaga Festival, where I talked to BB Club about their music, and you'll hear a little bit of it as well. I've got just enough time to leave you with a little bit of Jamie XX, who's just released a brand new song called Dream Night. It's a slow building banger, and it was written on the road. He said it came about naturally out of all the amazing nights of music and dancing I get to experience. I wanted to share that feeling. You can find him at jamiexx.bandcamp.com, and here it is.
I saw a dream last night, bright like a falling star, and the sources of light. I thought I was in flight, out where the planets are, moving between day and night, day and night, somewhere between time and space, we shall be free.
Comedy Club backstage at Oshiaga Festival. Nico and Adele, firstly, it's so lovely to meet you guys.
It's nice to meet you too. Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm.
And like, we just got the news very recently that you guys got shortlisted, your album Fudega got shortlisted for the Polaris Prize. Now, that's a really big deal. And also, like, your first album from 2022 got longlisted for the Polaris Prize. So I'm seeing that like there's this progression there. It was just getting better and better for you guys. So firstly, congratulations. How does that whole thing feel?
It feels like it's a really nice recognition in the music world, because this prize is like it's all about the music. So mm-hmm. and we don't have that much of opportunities to represent our project Canada-wise as well. It's really rare that it happens, mm-hmm. so we're really happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I see that there's so many more like Quebec artists and Montreal artists and French language artists and albums in that list this year compared to most years.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were surprised.
Yeah, I guess there's an interest from outside of Quebec to discover music. Maybe language is not so much of an issue. There's also a lot. Through the past few years, there's been a lot of like First Nation album, like in language of First Nation or Spanish or everything. So I feel maybe language, it's more about the music, and language, we can always translate the lyrics if we don't speak the language to figure out what they're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. I guess it also encourages people to get more into the language, to look into the lyrics. Yeah. But I want to talk a bit about your lyrics over your first two albums, Le Soleil et la Mer, and your newest album, Fudegar. Now, my French is not fantastic, but what I'm getting from a lot of your lyrics over the two albums is that they're quite like observational. It feels almost like you're kind of journaling, chronicling kind of what's happening and trying to make sense of the world around you. It feels almost like meditative. And then you like turn that into something that's so like precious and beautiful and delicate. So I just kind of want to talk through your process of like writing and how you come about with your lyrics.
What do you want to know?
Just like, is it sort of like a cathartic process for you? Because it does feel like that in your writing.
Yes, it's a very instinctive way to write. Mm-hmm. Nico and I share a lot of ideas together, and all happens mostly in the studio while we record. So I never really like take a time and sit and look at the window and write what I see or how I feel. It's just like this, we mostly create and write in this kind of this emergency mode. So still like instinctive, the words have to feel natural when I sing them. That's a big part of the writing process. It's how it feels when I sing them. If it doesn't feel right, we try to find other words, and the music guides the choice of the language as well. So depending on the music, on the mood of the song, rhythmically, it's gonna be in French or in English. So it depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's never like it's almost like the music tells you what it has to be rather than having to make a decision about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fluid. It's like a way to keep cohesion too. I guess we accumulate all of us experience in life, and I think we keep the. We try to, I think because it's a safe space when we work together, and the studio is a safe space for us, it allows to open those channels in our head and go, and I think we trust each other enough to be able to see if it makes sense artistically, musically, sound-wise, and yeah, so I think to create an environment where you feel space, safe, in a space where you feel safe, allows you to go maybe further, and it is in a way a therapeutic experience, because you can talk about stuff through music or through feelings that you wouldn't just by talking. Yeah.
I definitely get that in your music, but I feel like one place where maybe the words may have led you is the title for your second album, Fudegar. It comes from a Byron poem, Darkness, and that kind of gave it some direction, didn't it?
Yeah, totally. You can find in the poem this word, watchfire. That was funny because our manager, Misha, found the translation on Google, and it was through the garde. And what is funny about that, it's not even a word, like it doesn't exist. So we wanted to use it because the meaning of it in French led to something a bit more complex. So that was interesting. And for us, it really means like the symbolic of the fire, how it just like gives this feeling of protection, comfort, how the community take care of the fire all together. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about that.
I was also getting like watch fires, campfires from it, because I know that you've talked a bit about how like you and the Girl Guides and that kind of informed your path to music itself, right?
Yes, I learned to sing in group in nature with friends around the fire. So yeah, it's a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it really adds to that like community feeling, which I kind of get on the album as well. Like you have a few guests on the album, you have friends that come and do like choral work with you, and you have this one flute solo that I was reading your mom is on it, right?
Yeah, she plays flute, and it was really special to invite her in the studio, and she was nervous, but she played so well, and for her it meant so much to be there with us, and yeah.
And like that kind of thing almost like teaches you something new about music, doesn't it?
Yeah. You mean the? Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, just like
catch.
That kind of community experience.
Oh yes, yeah. Totally. I mean, it's always interesting to experiment music with other people. You have to like find the pace of the group, and there's a really precise way to communicate and stay in the people feel safe and free to say what they want, and it's nice.
And also, like, I was thinking about maybe lyric work on some songs like Parc de Beauvoir, where on the surface it feels almost like it's this, like, childlike simplicity thing, almost like this childlike innocence to it. But then there's this, like, undercurrent of real anxiety and tension to it as well.
I think it's something we try to be direct with what we say, and maybe even if it comes from a real place to us, let people discover what the feeling is. Because musically, it's like a tense song. And when we did write the lyrics of that song in a park, like just in a more tired touring state, contemplating, our child was playing in the kind of module park stuff they had. But there was screaming, there was a lot of stuff. So there's something, there's an anxiety, there's something that's like a lot of repetition, contemplative, and also something about parentality, for like that could be something else, someone else could read the same thing and think about like their like anxiety, or but there's something about, yeah, there's a lot of question about fatality, I think, on that record, and that we live, we die, it's part of life, but also the experience of living, the stress of living, but you're right, there's a bit of anxiety in that song in a way, and some other too, and that's where the therapeutic aspect of making music comes in, is like it can look simple on the surface, but there's like something deeper and more connected to our experiences in the songs. Yeah.
Thank you.
what you were just saying there. It's like this mortality almost adds like some a richer experience to all the other little things that are happening. So it does seem like it's like this almost subconscious kind of writing process, very therapeutic, as you were saying. So do you guys like write on the road kind of for like while you're doing other things, basically? Like you said, you don't just sit at a table, look out the window and stuff, right?
Yeah, it happens. It happens, yeah, creation happens a lot when we're touring, when we're in movement, when we're giving a bath to our kid. It's like this...
doing very everyday things.
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel, it feels almost like when we have, when we write music, I still think we think of songs as being a collection for an album. So I feel when two or three songs get written or they have idea, even if they're not finished, it kind of guides the rest of the album. It's not necessarily a conceptual album, but they kind of inform each other and it becomes, it helps us to make sense because we now have like a limitations that we're, that's what it's going to be about. So yeah.
One of my favorite songs on the album is Hilo Blue. What's going on that one? Because it feels so different from the rest of the album. It's a little bit electronic, like on the drum beats and stuff, but it's almost like hypnotic in other ways.
Yeah, we did write that song in a park in London. We were on tour, and I think I had my laptop, and we programmed the beat and the bass line and brought it back home. And I think we shaped it like really in the studio. It came together fast. I think the end we had like a we had the whole structure like almost before going to the studio. But the lyrics, I think Adele had the title. It's like an island, a mystical island where you can just get there by canoe. So it tied in with the rest of the album. And And there's something in our head that we wanted a song where there's an obstacle in it, and it's like you're trying to reach the island, but it's not necessarily easy, and it's all the question, do I go? It's almost about, it's about commitment in a way. Do I go? Mm-hmm. Do I not go? And I go because I know there's like, I'm not alone in a way. Like it could be a lover, a friend, a family, but there's something, yeah, it's about support. But it yeah, there's something maybe in the sound that's a bit different. I think it comes from the bass. There's something like really bassy, organ sounding a bit that makes it like, and it's really direct. There's almost nothing. It's like a bass or a drum machine and a guitar basically. So it's really sparse, but it's fast. It's a fast song.
Yeah. And in general too, I find that your songs don't sit in one specific genre. Like it's not just indie, it's not just pop, it's not just folk. There's a lot of like blending happening out there. So do you guys like think about well, we'll go ahead to talk about the deluxe version that you've just released, because you put out Les Braises, the Embers, like this extended version. So like, why did you feel like there needed to be an extension to the album as opposed to like an EP or something like that?
I think it's a way to make the album live longer now with like all the streaming, the short attention span. It's almost a way to re-inject the album in the world. And we also had like another version of a song, Nicole. We had like a collaboration we wanted to do. So we had a cover we'd been playing live. So we had stuff that it made sense, and it felt all that was part of the same world. It was a way to be like, after a year of touring or something, we're closing that chapter.
Yeah.
But revisit, closing, and also give the album another extra life, or let it be discovered by people.
And the song on it that was the collaboration that you did with Calvin Johnson, You Can Wear a Jacket or a Shirt, that duet is like, it's such a lovely little thing. It feels almost like, do you know that Velvet Underground song, I'm Sticking With You?
Yeah.
It really feels like that to me, like that kind of just like very close, intimate kind of like vocal duet.
Yes, we're really happy. He's such a nice person, Calvin Johnson. We did it in separate city and everything, but he extremely generous, extremely contrasting voice, and we did actually reshape the song after we got his vocal. So this was like pretty, we feel lucky to have collaborated with him. It's like he represents a lot of the values we have, and it's like good music values that are missing now in a lot of the industry. So yeah, we're really happy.
Classic songwriting.
Yeah.
And then just let's also lastly talk about Oshiaga. So this is a big moment. Like, I think in the last 10 or 15 years, all people from Montreal just know what a big deal it is to play Oshiaga. So how is it for you guys, like, coming out here, doing this stage, so many people, all of that?
This year we're a few local bands, so it's kind of nice to, we feel like we kind of represent us and the other projects that are playing. We, like, represent the local scene, so it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. Yeah, it feels nice to be part of, yeah, to represent our city. Yeah.
What's coming up next for you guys?
More touring. Yes, mm-hmm. More touring and maybe a new album soon.
Okay, looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Hello, you are listening to CFRCFM 101.9 FM on the terrestrial and streaming live at www.cfrc.ca on the digital. I am Weave, kicking it live here in the slightly cooled down basement of Carruthers Hall here in the heart of Queen's University. I'm enjoying it here. I'm going to kick a bunch of music as I am wont to do. It's going to be You know, we'll bring it up with a bit of rock, you know, got some Wire, some Sebado, some Tristan Psionic, some Swerve Driver, the first part, then the, you know, the hour preceding, we'll kind of have some rock and then we'll kind of bring it down with, you know, a bit of Brian Eno and stuff of that nature, as well as sort of a project that came across my radar that I was quite fascinated about, and we're going to kind of cover that a little bit, but that'll be later, and I'll get into that. To start off with, though, kind of in the album reissue element, Mountain Goats are going to be putting a 20th anniversary reissue version, anniversary shot of kind of their breakthrough album, I guess, in the, I don't want to say mainstream, but kind of the larger swath of the indie rock world, The Sunset Tree. And I think that there's going to be some shows that are going to be happening around that event as well. So, you know, good times for all. And I am going to start off with, you know, pretty much, I guess, the classic from that album, which is This Year. So let's get into that. Here is Mountain Goats on CFRC.
To count it off, smart guy. Now what the hell are we doing? No, I'm just...